Now Desiree Hellinger's talks with Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch.
So my guest today is Dan Handelman from Portland Peace and Justice Works, Portland Cop Watch, and we're talking today about the new use of force guidelines that have been released over the 4th of July weekend with a very quick turnaround time. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Dan?
Well, the Portland Police have been posting their policies, which they call directives, for about 3 or 4 years now, and they normally would put them out at the beginning of a month and give you 30 days to respond. Starting this year, in 2017, they started putting out a second rewrite with a 15-day window, and there's never an indication of what they changed and what is remaining the same. So they put out two of the arguably most important directives that the community cares about, which is how the police use force and how the police investigate when deadly force cases happen. On July 1st, Saturday, July 1st, as you say, over July 4 weekend, with a two-week turnaround, and these both the documents are multiple pages. One is about 15 pages long, and one's about 25 pages long. And the use of force policy incorporates not only the old use of force policy, but every policy about different kinds of weapons that the police use, the tasers, batons, pepper spray, and then their reporting requirements, something that's called an after-action report that the supervisor is supposed to write up after a use of force happens. So it is a massive undertaking to find out what they moved from those other policies into this policy and what's been changed.
And so clearly they just could have highlighted the changes to the policy, but they chose not to do that.
Correct. And there's software you can use that compares the old document to the new document, and we try to use that here at Portland Cop Watch, but it doesn't help when they move things around and change massive chunks of it. So the thing that people, I think, should be concerned about, and to be clear, the comments on these two policies, use of force and post-deadly force investigations, the comments currently are due on Friday, July 14th. We, Portland Cop Watch, authored a letter that went out on Thursday with other organizations, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, League of Women Voters, the NAACP, asking the mayor, please push the deadline back, because this is too important to the community. And seriously, if the police believe that they are a community policing organization, why would they make it so hard for the community to have input into such an important policy? So here are some of the things I think people should be really concerned about. In the use of force policy itself, they're saying that nothing in this policy, even though there's a whole section on de-escalation, nothing in the policy requires a member to retreat or be exposed to possible physical injury before applying reasonable force. What that says to me, that's in their top policy section, is, you know, we're telling you to back off, we're telling you not to use as much force as is legally allowed under the Constitution, but we have your back if you decide to use force on somebody. And I think that's entirely the wrong message to send. I mean, we're under scrutiny. The reason that we're even having the ability to do these, to make comments on these, is that the U.S. Department of Justice came in 2012 and said there's a pattern and practice of excessive force by the Portland Police, and you have to include the community when you're making these new policies. So instead of making things better, they're sort of finding ways to sweep things under the rug. So in the investigations directive, There's a force report that every officer is required to write up if they use force before the end of their shift, basically. And the U.S. Department of Justice said in their annual reports to the Judge Simon, who's overseeing this whole agreement, that there's no exception for when they use deadly force, right? You know, they should, you know, whether you, you know, punch somebody briefly in the arm, or if you shoot them, it's still use of force. You still have to write your report before the end of the shift. The Bureau's draft explicitly says that the officers do not have to write a deadly force report when a person dies as a result of their firearm until after the criminal investigation is over, which could take several weeks. And then they say that the internal affairs captain has the discretion to ask an officer to write such a report when the person doesn't die.
So So this constitutes a major setback in terms of, if this passes, this constitutes a major setback in terms of accountability for the use of lethal force in particular.
Exactly.
Because we used to have a 48-hour window in which they had to report on, you know, they had to provide their own account of a shooting, and now we basically, are we eliminating that 48-hour rule?
Well, that's a very good question. So what you're referring to is something that was in the police association contract that said they could not compel an officer to testify in less than 48 hours after a shooting. And this is a very complicated legal thing, and I don't know how much time you have to explain this all to the listeners. But so there has to be a firewall, basically, between the administrative investigation, where they compel the officers to testify, and the criminal investigation, where they're finding out whether they broke the law. And as you and I know, they've never indicted an officer for an on-duty use of deadly force, except in one case where the officer actually committed suicide before it can go to trial. So, unfortunately, as you suggested, because of these complications in the law, there are provisions in the directive about investigating shootings that will make it so that the officer doesn't have to give their testimony, at least not right away, and perhaps not until after the grand jury has been held, which could be 2 or 3 weeks or even longer after the shooting.
Okay. Now, is this document coming out of the PPB or coming out of the mayor's office?
It's coming out of the police bureau itself. There's a captain in charge. His name is Captain Krantz, and he's in charge of this whole project. It actually used to be Chief Marshman's job before he got promoted to chief, was to make sure that these reviews were being done. And so they put these things out, and like I said, they used to put them out at the beginning of every month, and now they kind of roll them out every couple of days. And I'm not saying days lightly. We had at least 4 different deadlines in June, and there are 4 deadlines in July, and we're only, you know, a week into July at this point. They don't differentiate between inspecting an officer's uniform to see whether the buttons are on it correctly versus, you know, when they're going to use deadly force. And they give us the same amount of time to look at either policy. And they don't give a heads up that this is coming out. And then they say they don't show us what the changes are. So, you know, there's an incredible amount of time being spent by us volunteers going through the document to find out what's been changed.
So when was the last use of force document issued?
The last draft that they released came out in November of 2015. And we submitted comments at that time. So they're calling this the second. It's calling, they have a first universal review, what they call, and then they have a second review. So the first review, you have 30 days to comment, and the second review, you only have 15 days to comment. And they're considering this the 15-day period, even though they sat on this for a year and a half before they released this draft, and they have all these things in here which are, you know, kind of flying in the face of both the community and, I expect, the DOJ.
Do you think there's any connection between the speed with which they're kind of demanding review of this document and the search for a new police chief?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because it could be that Chief Marshman has ordered Captain Krantz to get all these policies set up so that he, Chief Marshman, can look like, you know, hey, I've been taking care of these policies that the DOJ ordered us to redo, and to try to secure his position as they're searching for a new chief. It's also possible the DOJ is cracking down and saying, you've been under this scrutiny for 5 years. In the original document that we signed said the entire agreement with the DOJ is supposed to last 5 years, and we're supposed to go back to court to see Judge Simon sometime in the fall, and we're supposed to tell him whether or not we finished making all these changes. So it could be the city's just saying, we want to get out from underneath this thing. Let's just do as many changes as we can. But if that's the case, then why are they putting out these documents that kind of fly in the face of what they're supposed to be doing?
Okay, so this does represent a major kind of reversal in policy.
In some of it, some of it.
The lethal use of force.
Correct.
And so it sounds like it's a really important time for our listeners to be contacting the mayor's office in particular to respond to this. And what do you think the best course of action is? To demand that an extension be made for the review of this document, and also a demand that we have police officers responding within a narrow window of time after a shooting occurs, right?
I think those are both exactly what people should do, right? That, you know, to follow up on the community letter that we sent the mayor asking that, you know, we have at least 30 days. The DOJ itself has 45 days to review these policies. There used to be a community oversight advisory board whose job it was to make sure that the community had input into these things. And when you think about it, they were only supposed to meet once a month. So how would they ever have been able to review a policy that had a 15-day timeline on it? And what about other community groups? Like, our group only meets once a month. What about advisory bodies like Citizen Review Committee and the Training Advisory Council and other groups that still exist that won't have a chance to look at this? So they have to extend the timeline. And while you're on the phone, and to the extent that you can read these policies, they're up on the Police Bureau's website. If you go to the City of Portland's website, click on the police, and then click on directives, you can read them yourself. Just say, you know, we want to make sure that officers have to file reports, that the same scrutiny that is done for every other kind of use of force is done for use of deadly force as well.
Which is immediately following the use of deadly force, somebody is interviewed, and that statement is taken in order to weigh it against other evidence that's subsequently given.
That's what happens when a community member commits a murder. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened when a police officer commits murder.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us if there are any important anniversaries of police shootings that are coming up or have just passed?
In May, it marked
that Kendra James
14
shooting?
Years since Kendra James was shot and 7 years since Keaton Otis was shot. And that month also included the second shooting of a young African-American Portlander, Terrell Johnson, after the shooting of Quantas Hayes, which happened in February. And we've put out this kind of snarky, I guess, analysis that said, you know, these shootings by the Portland police basically started up right after Jeff Sessions was confirmed as the Attorney General and said, I'm not going to do any more of these investigations like we have in Portland about whether police are violating the law. He thinks that there's a war on the police and that we have to back off.
And is it accurate that we've had twice the number of police shootings this year, lethal police shootings of previous years, or at least in 2015, I believe?
It's double of last year. So last year there were two shootings and one person died. This year there have been four shootings and two people have died. And we're just in July so far.
And so coming up on Wednesday is the vigil for Keaton Otis, which takes place at 6 p.m. And that is at the corner of
Northeast 6th and Halsey. Wednesday the 12th. It's the 12th of every month. So in this case, the 12th of July.
At 6 p.m. So my guest today has been Dan Handelman with Portland Peace and Justice Works, Portland Cop Watch. Thanks so much for joining me, Dan.
Sure. Thank you.
And this has been Desiree Helgers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.